Thank you, Harold and Janice, for this uplifting music. This evening, I'd like for us to look at not only is God is our helper, but God is a faithful helper. A faithful helper. We talk about the faithfulness of God. What does that mean in our lives on a daily basis? It seems as if in the times in which we're living, and I imagine every generation of folks have felt this, that there seems so much change going on in our lives and so fast and furious. How can we deal with it? And yes, we have our theology. We believe that God is who He says He is. But it helps to just look at God's faithfulness in His Word. So to begin with, I'd like us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11. This is the account as God has brought His people out of Egypt. They've wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. He's purged the unfaithful people from Israel. And in chapter 7, Moses is giving the children of Israel why God has chosen them and speaks of God's faithfulness to them. And we're going to look at this for just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, 8 through 10, and see of God's faithfulness in that time, some 622 years later, and just see the faithfulness of God to His promises to His people. So Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 11. Let's pray before we study. Father in heaven, we love You and thank You for Your love to us. Thank You for the blessings that You've given to us this day. The fellowship with You and brothers and sisters in Christ, how You fed us from Your Word this morning in Sunday school and morning worship, and now we gather to come and to be fed again, to have insight into You, Your love, and Your faithfulness to us day by day. You know every need that we have in our hearts, and I pray that You will meet our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, look at verses 9 through 11. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations, and repays to their face those who hate Him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Let's look at verse 9. This is the foundation that we need as we look at this. First of all, we're told, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Well, know therefore. The verb there, to know, means to understand. A lot of times we use Christian phrases and words and biblical phrases, but when's the last time we thought about what it means to know God? And it means to have an understanding of who He is and how He's revealed Himself to us in this particular passage. And what is that? It's the Lord your God is God. Look at the name Lord. It's Yahweh. It's the covenant God of grace who is immutable. He never changes in His being or in His relationship to His people. We change. He doesn't. And it's the Lord your God. Now the next name God is Elohim, the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. This is a God not only is faithful to His promises to us, but He is the powerful God who can fulfill all of those promises He's given to us. It's one thing to make promises to someone. It's another thing to make the promise and fulfill it and have the ability to fulfill it. And so God has that ability. And then he goes on to say in that phrase, the Lord your God is God. And that is singular, El, which means he is a true and living God. He is the only God. He is first. He is Lord. He is master. It rules out any other God whatsoever. And so we begin in this verse looking that the Lord your God is God. He is it. There are no other gods. And this is the same God that you and I live and follow on a daily basis. Now let's continue on in this passage here. Notice also in 9, he says, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. The faithful God. God is faithful. He's committed to you and me and to all others who have faith in him. He's always there and always will be there. If we sense his absence, he hasn't moved, we have. It's sin in our lives. There's something going on in our hearts that would cause us to sense the distance of God in our lives. So he's a faithful God. Notice also who keeps covenant. And the verb there, keep, has a couple of connotations here. First of all, he guards that relationship. And think about this. God guards the relationship that he has established with each of us. He doesn't take it lightly. It means something very special. As we have fellowship with one another, and that fellowship means something to each of us personally, as individuals and as a body of believers, as a church family. As Hunter was saying this morning, this church has always been a church family, a close-knit family. And God guards that. Do we guard it? Do we guard that relationship that we have with God personally, that he has established with us? And so this is what Moses is saying, who keeps covenant. Then he also protects that relationship. He protects it. God doesn't want anything to come between himself and his children. And whatever begins to come between himself and each of us, he stops it. He will not let it break that fellowship with us. And so we have that responsibility as well. How do you and I protect our relationship with our Heavenly Father? As we go through a day, we know the Scripture, the Spirit of God lives in us. We know sin. We know what God requires, what God expects. We know how to have a relationship with him. And so do we do all that we can by God's grace and the power of the Spirit of God to protect that relationship so it will be what not only the Lord wants us to have, but what we want to have as well. So this is also very important for us in verse 9. Notice he said he not only is a faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Notice here, it's steadfast love. Firm love. Not weak. Not flippant. But a steadfast love that speaks volumes and very strongly, I'm committed to you and to no one else. And are you and I committed to Christ, the true and living God, and no other God? You and I will not compromise what we believe. We will not give in at all because of the relationship that we have with Christ. So it's a love of commitment a firm commitment. And who to whom has he made this? And he says here, with those who love him and keep his commandments. Those who love him. Those of us who are committed to him on a daily basis. We show that it's more than just, I love you. We are committed to showing him we really do. And so we don't even allow our hearts and minds and desires to go in a direction that would cause that relationship to be weakened at all. And also we see here that keep his commandments. The verb keep here is the same verb that's used by God about how he keeps that relationship, who guards and protects it. We believe this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And we do not compromise. We do not water it down. We do not change it in any form or fashion. We are so committed to the Lord and believe this is His Word that we will remain faithful to it, period. And so this is who God is, that has committed himself to us. Notice also how long it goes to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. That is a long time. In other words, it's eternal commitment. God's commitment to you and to me will never, never end. Because when we leave this life, we go into his presence, where he is and where his word abides also. So we'll never be out from under his word, and his commitment to us will never end, nor will his promises ever end. And then in verses 10 and 11, particularly verse 10, he's not going to put up with slackers, those who give mere lip service to him. He doesn't tolerate lip service. You're committed or you're not. It's as simple as that. And we're committed to him. Then in verse 11, he says, you shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Because God takes this, his relationship with us so seriously, and he's laid it out so clearly, that you and I need the same serious commitment to him that he's made to us. Now, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now, let's go all the way over to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41. Now, all of you are Old Testament scholars. You studied the Old Testament. You know what has taken place from the time of Deuteronomy, where they actually move up, and then you go into Joshua, and they go in and take the land, and they capture the land, and they dwell in the land, and then you take it from that point in Joshua all the way up to the prophets, and oh my goodness, what a history. What a history of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Then when you get to Isaiah, in Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, Isaiah is predominantly warning the southern kingdom of Judah, don't follow the northern kingdom because they're going down the tube. The northern kingdom of Israel had 19 consecutive evil kings that led them away from God to break the word of God, and God brought in the Assyrians and destroyed them. And these are God's people, but these are the people that didn't respect him and didn't keep the covenant. So he took them out, based on Deuteronomy chapter 7. God doesn't play around. He's very serious in relationship. Then you come to the southern kingdom of Judah. And in chapters 40, following in Isaiah, these are words of encouragement that Isaiah was given by God to give to his people who were exiled in the Babylonian captivity. And so God pulls part of the southern kingdom out in order to preserve his covenant promises to his people. Now, in the southern kingdom, they had a few good kings, and they lasted a few years longer. But ultimately, as you know, Nebuchadnezzar came in and took them out. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 41. And let's look at what God, through Isaiah, is telling his people. In the first 7 verses here, God is judging the nations and those who hate him. It's the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 7. You don't love me, you don't follow my commandments, your history. And in verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah 41, basically Isaiah is saying the same thing. But look at verse 8. Because at verse 8, Isaiah now addresses that remnant that God has pulled out of the southern kingdom, and he's going to fulfill his covenant promises through these people. And you know, sometimes in our lives, God has to do a hard work in us to preserve us. And it might come across that God doesn't love me anymore. Look at these things he's allowing me to experience. Look at what he's doing to me. And he's a faithful God and a loving God, and I know that. But I just don't understand right now how he's working. Well, that's okay. As long as we never forget who God is. That's the key thing. El Elohim Adonai El Shaddai Yahweh. We should never forget who God is. We might not understand how he's working. We might not like the way in which he's working, but we know him. So we remain faithful to him because we know that. Now, Isaiah 41:8, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend." Let's stop there. Look at this. "But you, Israel..." This is a contrast between the Gentile nations who hate God and never followed him. You're different. These Gentile nations have nothing to do with me, but I'm focusing on you. Now, here's who you are. And look what he says. "My servant." The servant indicates the position that Israel has before God. A very special position that they have before God. And it centers on worshiping God and obeying him, just like back in Deuteronomy 7. "You keep my commandments. You honor me." And that's what God requires. That's what God expects of us. We are his servants, and we gather to worship, and we live to honor him on a daily basis. Notice also in verse 8, "my servant Jacob," goes back to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as God made that commitment to those three men and to bless them and make a mighty nation and fulfill those covenant promises. God hasn't forgotten that. And notice what he says next in verse 8, "whom I have chosen." Whom I have chosen. And you know, we talk about in Presbyterian doctrine, it's biblical theology. Forget Presbyterian. It's biblical theology. And we talk about being chosen. What does it mean to be chosen? What does it mean to be chosen? What would you think if I came out and I said, "I want you and you and you. I want you to come with me." What would the rest of you think? What am I, chopped liver? Do I don't count? Why didn't he choose me? You know, when you're chosen by God, God has shown you special preference. Special preference. Think about that. Because I know when I was in grammar school, I wasn't the swiftest guy on the team. I couldn't run very fast because I was so healthy. And I wasn't that blessed with athletic ability. And this, when they got down to the two last guys standing, I will take trucks. Boy, that made me feel so good. You ever been in that situation? Yeah. But you know why God chose you? I love you and I want you. You are special. And every one of us in this room know we're not. We're sinners, not liking God, not caring about God. And then he says, I love you and I'm going to show you special privilege. I want you. That's what it means to be chosen. Having been shown special privilege and preference by God, simply based on his love for each of us. So he says, I have chosen the offspring of Abraham, and he calls Abraham my friend. Not my acquaintance, but my friend. A very close relationship there. That's how God views us and still does so to this day. Look down in verse 9. You whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its father's corners, saying to you, you are my servant. Notice what he did here. I took you. The verb to take here in the Hebrew means to take hold of one's hand and lead. To take hold of one's hand and lead. He didn't go up to, you follow me, and you follow me, and let's go. No, personal attachment. You come with me. And as he, it also means not only to personally take the hand, but to protect the hand that you've taken. And this is what God does in our lives. He just doesn't choose us and take us. He protects us day in and day out. And then he goes on to say, notice he's chosen and has taken us from the ends of the earth and from its father's corners, saying to you, you are my servant. You are my servant. You belong to me. You're mine. You're special. And then notice in verse 10, fear not. Well, look at the last part of verse 9. I have chosen you and not cast you off. I have chosen you. Same verb. I've given you preference. And I have not cast you off. The verb to cast off means to be rejected. Have you ever been rejected? For whatever reason, somebody, you just all of a sudden, you didn't make the cut. And you were pushed aside. That hurts. That hurts. God won't do that. He's taken you by His hand. He's chosen you. You and I are His servants. And He will not reject you or me because of His love and commitment to us. Now look at verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not means don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he says, why? For I am with you. And this verb here, to be with someone, means to be joined together. It doesn't mean to stand beside by side. It doesn't mean to be 5 feet away. It means to be, I'm in this with you. I am in this with you. I'm committed to you. That's what it means, fear not, for I am with you. Then look at the next phrase. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Be not dismayed means to be distressed in your mind and have the thought, has God left me? Has God deserted me? You know, sometimes our lives can get so topsy-turvy and changes come so quickly and so hard to understand and to deal with. And we get, Satan tries to get us to doubt who God is, and he doesn't like you anymore. You can't trust him anymore. To be dismayed is to begin to develop a distrust in God and his promises. And notice what God gave to Isaiah when that came up. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I am who I say I am. And this is so important, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we know the names of God, because Yahweh, one of the meanings is immutability. I will not change my attitude toward you. I will not reject you. I am Yahweh. You are mine. You will always be mine. Regardless of what we go through, as we love the Lord and He loves us and He's chosen us and He's taken us by our hands, He is with us. He's always there. Hunter was talking about perception this morning. And how many times have you and I had a perception of the absence of God or the lack of love that God would have for me because of whatever's going on in my life has nothing to do with God. God is there. It's my perception that I feel. It's not who God says He is. He doesn't change. And so we must always remember who He is. Then look what he says in verse 10. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. This is another great verb. He's already said he's with us, which means he's attached. Now he says, I will strengthen you. And now you have another connotation. I will firmly attach myself to you. I'm not loosely attached. I'm there. I am joined with you. I'm there for you and with you. I will strengthen you. Then he says, I will help you. That word help there means to support firmly. To support firmly. You know, some folks say, I got your back. Yeah, well, how close are you? And can I depend on you? Will you be there when I need you? Yeah, He is there. He does have our back, our front, our sides. He's there. He's there for us. I will help you. And then look what he says. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Right hand is a place of authority. God is all authority. And it's His right hand of righteousness, which means His word and His law. He's going to protect us judicially. When those come against us to do us harm, His righteousness will vindicate us. Now, that might not happen until the second coming, because we have to put up with some crud in this life that is not fair and is not right. And we sometimes would thank God, where are you? But ultimately, if you and I remain faithful with the Lord and walk with the Lord, And we got all these naysayers saying these things. If we must keep focused on the Lord and keep walking with Him, the day will come when the righteousness of Christ in us will vindicate us. Of course, I'd like for it to be immediately, and I know you would too. But it doesn't work that way sometimes. But there have been occasions in my life, by the grace of God, when He kept me focused on Him and walking forward, I was vindicated. And so you and I need to do this. His right hand of righteousness. This is how faithful God is to you and me. This is who loves us and has chosen us and attached Himself to us. And He's there with us 24/7 in whatever we're facing. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, that is so true. That is so true. That's a great hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. He's always there. Always. All we have to do is believe. We just have to believe. We have to trust. We have that salvation. And in that walk, when we get to that weak spiritual condition, we say, no, He is faithful. He's proven it to me over and over again. He's proven it to you. And I'm going to walk like you're going to walk, faithfully with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you so much because of your love for us. Thank you for your word that you've given to us this evening by your Spirit to encourage us, to strengthen us, to remind us of who you are and your faithfulness to us. And I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here tonight, regardless of what we're facing. May we never lose sight and understanding of who you are and what our relationship is with you in Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for your protection of this part of your body as you work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. As we move forward as a church and as individual believers in Christ, that we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are faithful to us and you have chosen us and you have our right hand and we have no fear. Lord, help us to experience this. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.